This is a segment from the Annex Sociology Podcast. For more information, visit us on the web at theannexpodcast.com. So I want to talk about a new personnel strategy at Southern Illinois University that I read about this morning in Inside Higher Ed. It looks like Southern Illinois' dean, one of the deans there, circulated a note to department chairs about a new initiative to recruit alumni to be, quote, zero-time adjuncts, which is basically starting to staff the university with volunteers. And the idea is that they're going to start relying on volunteers for thesis committees, teaching classes, serving on committees, grant proposals, basically faculty. They're looking for volunteer faculty. And yeah, and on the face of it, it sounds like a win-win, right? The alumni give back, the university saves money, right? Students get access to people who are from the, quote, real world. And a volunteer alumni can say that they're faculty on their LinkedIn page, right? Win-win for everybody? Any thoughts?
Yeah, that LinkedIn page thing was actually what I was thinking. So when you first proposed this, before I checked out the article, I was thinking maybe this was for like a professional school where, you know, you kind of see a weaker version of this where you don't pay adjunct faculty very much, or practitioner faculty, as they sometimes call them. But implicitly, what you're paying them in is prestige, where they get to say, you know, my interior design business isn't just some interior design business. It's an interior design business by a professor of art history at Southern Illinois University.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know what type of business would, pay more for a consultant who could say they're at the sociology department or the anthropology department at Southern Illinois. And the fact that they are doing this, it sounds like campus-wide, really implies that it's just a pure cost cutting. And then the other way I was thinking is maybe it could just be like a development move. Like sometimes I know that our development kind of has the idea that if you let people guest lecture, it gives them more of a sense of attachment to the university, and then they'll leave their $10 million estate to the university or something like that. But it doesn't seem like it's that at all. It just seems like they were saying the pure cost cutting measure of let's recruit people to, you know, basically let's find a free substitute for one of our major cost inputs.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I mean, one of the I'm still trying to wrap my head around this, right? Because it seems to me that there are many PhDs / full-time faculty who actually have absolutely no idea how to mentor students, have absolutely no idea how to do many of these things that you're saying they're just going to get volunteers to do. So, so if you're not paying someone, can you demand that they actually have a skill set?
Well, you can't put much demand on anybody who's volunteering, right? Like, you're just happy that they're walking in the door.
Well, that partly depends on how many, right? If you're saying we want to get five volunteer professors, you might actually be able to get five who are highly qualified. And, you know, let's say somebody is a retired accountant and they just want to stay active, and so they want to teach a class, volunteering to teach a class on accounting. I would not be surprised if the university could get one person like that who's really good practitioner faculty, or they could be a younger person starting out. And like you said, they want to put on their CV or their LinkedIn page or something like that. But if you're trying to make this, because the article you sent around talked about how they talked about a critical mass. Mm-hmm. And that they wanted this to be like a large scale thing. And if you're trying to do it at scale, that does mean you're basically just looking for warm bodies.
Vinny, what's your thoughts on this?
I'm not going to quit my job and move there to take one of these positions. It's cost savings. I mean, the state of Illinois is in sort of huge financial trouble, the university, the public universities anyway. And, you know, they brought in this chancellor to sort of clean house and look for cost saving measures. And that means not hiring. And this is a response to the not hiring. And I have it on good word. There are other cost saving measures that he has proposed, which is public knowledge now, as far as I know. And it includes consolidating departments into schools to sort of trim down the faculty, and trying to convince current department chairs to volunteer their time as new heads of these schools or as department chairs, volunteer their time.
So they don't get releases.
With no releases or compensation. Maybe one course release or something like that, but it's extraordinarily minimal compared to just about everywhere else in the country. A little bit ironically, this same chancellor has been caught up in a little bit of a scandal, including getting his daughter and his son-in-law hired at the university into administrative positions. At the same time, they're not willing to hire faculty. They're trying to get volunteer faculty. They're trying to get people to do service for their departments as chairs without compensation.
My first reaction to this story was that, well, here's a school that doesn't really care about quality or doesn't believe that, you know, experience will have a substantive impact on whether or not people are delivering good classes or they're getting positive student outcomes. Or maybe it's that they don't care. And I'm wondering, is that a trend in this business where sort of we have administrators who just feel like there is no benefit to having full-time faculty or you don't need it? You just got to put a warm body in front of the class.
Yeah, I would actually say, yeah. And you know, I've seen it at my university where they've been experimenting in not even having the warm body. I mean, you know what I mean? They're like, what we can do is we can just record your lectures and we'll just have them in perpetuity and people can just watch your lecture and we don't need you anymore.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, that's going on everywhere. Online classes, half online classes, sort of filling the seats, meeting the needs of the population somehow with fewer staff that have the credentials. Now, I don't think that, I mean, of course there are, you know, Joe, you sort of raised that relative to the university care. I mean, a lot of these universities, including Southern Illinois University, have really great productive faculty. So it's not coming from them. I mean, it's definitely coming from sort of administrators that have a sort of coming at it with a business emphasis, filling the seats and collecting dollars from particularly undergrad classes.
I mean, if I think of my personal situation, I feel like I'm such a better teacher than I was 10 years ago when I started, and that experience definitely has a benefit to it. And I wonder if they have some type of Dunning-Kruger type of thing where they're not teaching and they're not researching and they just figure it's really easy. They're like, well, anybody can do it because they don't know what goes into it, right? And so they figure anybody could do it. They're like, well, I can run a big research project. No problem. I got my MBA from Wharton.
I welcome them to teach a mega intro sociology class like I just taught. And I think that, you know, they'll be shaken from all those assumptions about how easy it might be.
There's also that, and there's also the issue of, like, what is the university? Because it's becoming more and more of a credentialing process. Like, there must be some value to expertise, like, to having people with advanced knowledge and extensive experience. Like, I understand that you could bring an accountant in to teach accounting 101, but maybe there's some value to having people who are shaping the knowledge in a field rather than getting, you know, some retired practitioners who might have been last trained 40, 50 years ago.
You know, I mean, I think that's fine. And I think there are ways that universities can do that through alumni boards, having lecturers that are, you know, working. We have a lecturer in our, or we have had lecturers that have worked for the prison system, but with criminology, sociology degrees that come back and they really like teaching just, you know, one class a semester in sort of in a more applied format, but not the critical mass that they're talking about at Southern Illinois University.
I mean, you know what it reminds me of is, you know, there's this idea in marketing that once you have an established brand reputation and client base, you try to cut costs by degrading the quality just a little bit, something that is just so small that you expect most consumers not to perceive the difference, and you try to capture the extra profit. And the problem is there's a path dependency, right? Where you just keep on shaving it down and tastes get, you know, the quality deteriorates till you find yourself with, you know, little
right,
to show.
Right. In terms, I mean, there's a lag, right, in terms of prestige in most fields and most organizations. So I imagine organizations and institutions can sort of live off that prestige for to a certain point, right? There's got to be a critical juncture where there's nobody left and everybody is, you know, or you know, universities are all teaching their courses online. And it just seems,
And then only the kids going to Harvard are going to be able to interact with experts. Let's do that. For more, visit us on the web, theannexpodcast.com.